How are we doing on consistency to follow God? How are we doing on that? I'm not so good at it. I'll tell you right up front. Huh? It's a battle. Can someone just share with me, when you talk about Daniel in the lion's den, what comes to mind? Daniel in the lion's den, what comes to mind? Courage. Yeah.
Faith.
Boom. Faith. Courage and faith are the dynamic duo in today's lesson. Courage and faith during crises, particularly. The whole story and the life thus far that we've read about, we had last week Belshazzar, and we're going to talk a little bit more about his arrogance this morning. But through all of that, Daniel's courage to go in before the king and say, hey, you know, you got this all wrong. You better understand that your arrogance is going to cost you dearly. The courage to do that. This morning, we're going to go into chapter 6, and we're going to talk about some courage beyond all courages of what Daniel is going to be facing. Okay? The chapter is 6, and for those of you who brought your Bible, please go in there with me, because I want to read the story first, and then we're going to dissect it. Now, you'll remember that Belshazzar was thrown away by what? He died. He was also one of those guys that left us, again, as Daniel understands his lessons. Last week, we walked out of here with a takeaway that said, hey, look, God is always present with us. Don't be like Belshazzar and think you're ever getting away with sin. God knows everything. Don't mistake the long-suffering of God as indifference. Don't mistake the patience of God for ignorance. When God writes something down like he did on the wall, you can count on it happening. Also, remember we talked about when God writes something in this book of his, revealed it to those who captured it and wrote it down, he's in control. I put this slide back up this morning because three people last week said, I never knew that about Babylon. No wonder that you hit on it, because you tied it back to the fact that because of all these great things, these characteristics of the city of Babylon, they grew so arrogant that they thought that they could trick God. They could hide everything from God. 14 miles square had a big river called the Euphrates that was bisecting the city. Inner and outer walls were 350 feet high and 57 feet thick. Wide enough, 67, glasses please, wide enough for two four-horse chariots. The walls were lined the river on either side. 250 watchtowers, 100 feet high. The outside wall had a deep water moat, 30 feet wide. Here's the one that blew me away. 20 years of food stored. Can you imagine? Then the bridge, 660 feet and 30 feet wide. Bottom line, they had convinced themselves in Babylon that they were impenetrable. And they acted like they didn't they? They just didn't realize the power of God. We must, at all cost, avoid arrogance. I had a boss that loved to be successful, and he taught us all how to be successful. And one of his traits that we would learn from him: stop reading your press clippings. What does that mean? Stop building your resume. Stop building success and always reading what you've done. Always strive to be better than what you were. And he was a Christian, and he would always close it with, God's got this. Have y'all heard that before? That's where it stuck, is all those years of mentorship came from the first half of it was, don't you let me catch you reading your press clippings. I don't think the Babylonians did anything but read their press clippings, because they wound up led by Belshazzar to be so arrogant. We talked a little bit about you can't mock God. And over in the Galatians chapter, the highlight was, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So, from where we are, I want you to help me today. Let's review. In our world today, do you think that some of the behaviors that we are experiencing are mockery? Give me an example of mocking God. What could it be? Bingo. How about disregard for the God that we know is alive? We have to be careful that we don't let all the stuff going on around us bring us down. We need to be exampling the Father, not falling in line with the crowd who's mocking the Father. The handwriting on the wall. Here's the bottom line of those wonderful phrases. God's numbered your days. He has weighed on the scales, and you, Belshazzar, and your compadres have been found wanting, and your kingdom's going to be divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Numbered, measured, and divided. Belshazzar and the Babylonians did what? According to Romans 1:30, they were backbiters, haters of God, insolent, proud, braggarts, always thinking of new ways of sinning. We, as a family of Christ, are not always thinking of ways of sinning. But the devil is always on our tail, trying to make us and lead us to sin. Be careful, my brothers and sisters. Be careful to avoid that. Let's go first through verses in chapter 6, please. Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than any of the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Then, the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling the government affairs. Now get this, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. Daniel was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, long live King Darius. We're all in agreement. Get that. We are all in agreement with administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. Capture that, mark it. They were all in agreement. Who's they? We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about that big lie. And now, Your Majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as had always done, giving thanks to his God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. So they went straight to the king and reminded him about the law. Did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, Your Majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions? Yes, the king replied, that decision stands. It's an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. Then they told the king, that man, there he is, that man, Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, is ignoring you and your law. He will pray to his God three times a day. Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled and he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. In the evening, the men went together to the king and said, Your Majesty, you know that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no law that the king signs can be changed. So, at last the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, may your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you. And verse 17, a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of his nobles so that no one could rescue Daniel. Hello? Daniel did what? Characteristics of Daniel that you heard from these scriptures were what? Boom. What else? He what?
Prayer.
Three times a day, right? Is it safe to say that Daniel was habitually convicted that he needed to talk to his God? Is that safe to say? I believe that the characteristic mostly involved in Daniel was his consistency to follow God. That consistency, coupled with the fact that he believed his God would take care of him, made him braver, made him the example that he was. Okay? Time out. How are we doing on consistency to follow God? How are we doing on that? I'm not so good at it. I'll tell you right up front.
It's a battle.
Huh? It's a battle. Yeah.
Like stock market.
Stock market, yeah. But I'll tell you, it's the thing I have learned to do is to understand that God's grace is over me. And sometimes when I fall short of consistency to serve, I ask for forgiveness. I kind of kick myself for not being consistent. And I'm talking about on something like being in the Word every day. I don't do that well. I don't pray enough every week. I don't do that well. But yet, I believe that through God's mercy, grace, and love for me, that He understands. And above all, because I'm a follower of Christ, I think that He hears my repentance plea, and He covers me with His Son's blood. Can you take the time this week to do that assessment? Understanding we're all gonna fall short. And like Daniel did, he remained consistent with being honest, with standing up for his Lord, with telling it like it is. He did that. And yet, here we are, seeing this example and reading it. I honestly think Daniel knew, and he never even gave it a second thought when he went to pray. I think he knew that God was hearing him, and God already had it worked out how he was going to be safely taken care of. And therefore, he just turned it over to God more than ever. And yet, the courage that he showed by going and praying, I think he felt that that courage would just overtake everything. Yes, but more importantly, I think he needed to talk to his God. He wasn't showing off. He was not saying, look it. He simply was doing what had been successful in his life, right? How does that grab you? How do you feel about what I just said, the consistency?
I think his personal relationship with God was so strong that he went in there with that confidence that you were mentioning. He was humble, and he went in there. He was, like you said, he wasn't all, you know, here I am, I'm going in. He was very humble, like we're supposed to humble ourselves in the sight
humble
of the Lord,
ourselves.
As the song
okay.
says.
Okay.
You know, so that's all.
What else?
Up top.
Yes. Anybody else? Consistently obedient, knowing God heard him and would take care of him. Take a look at this one here, where his entire story that we've learned about thus far is that notwithstanding everything going around him, you got the governors, you got the administrators, of which he was one, he didn't seem to think it was important what they thought about. What he thought was important was faithfulness. Jason mentioned it very early. Faith wins. I think that's a really good moniker, a banner for Daniel. In his life, faith wins. He prayed fervently. He was a guy of action. He obeyed the Lord. He proclaimed God's word as it was revealed to him and his people as he went about doing his work. There are some things that did not happen that I captured in one of my studies, and that was there was no mass repentance ever by the Babylonians when Daniel was with them. I don't know why that highlighted so much, but I do know that the Babylonians' behavior reflected they didn't care. They didn't want to know anything except my way. I want a party. I want to be in control. There was no indication that there was a spiritual revival by the Israelites. Daniel did not do anything flashy that changed the course of Israel. Even when the 70 years of exile passed, many Israelites chose to stay in Babylon. And the bottom line is, unlike some others we've studied, Daniel did not lead the Israelites back to Israel. He did, though, accomplish some great things. And are we learning from it? Well, Shaq, this is in the Old Testament. I don't really need to remember anything about that. Hello, wake up. The characteristics that Daniel presented to us, we need to grasp some of those things. Those characteristics, oh, here's a good question. Name me a couple of characteristics that you see in your life that you would be happy to know others see in your life. What are a couple of characteristics that you believe people know you by? I'll give you a good example. One that I've heard many times about me. Ready, fire, aim. Ready, fire, aim. What do you mean by that? Just fix it. Just get it done. Get her done. Don't pray about it. Don't discern about it. Just do it. Ready, fire, aim. Sometimes that's wonderful. Most of the time that's really lousy. You wind up spending more time cleaning up stuff than you do planning it and happening it. Make it happen. So that's my sharing of a characteristic. How about you? Something that you think people would say about you that really is kind of good. And you know how hard that question is? Because you never want to talk about yourself. I get that. But that's the beginning of this assessment that I'm trying to get you to do from Daniel's example. Look inward. Think about what are some characteristics that I think are pretty good. Yes, Lupe.
I think mine is that a lot of people know that I'm a prayer warrior, because I talk to people and I let them know that I do pray for them. And if they need different, you know, something special, prayer or whatever, to get a hold of me.
And to supplement the fact that you are a fervent prayer warrior, just also know that one of your characteristics is you acknowledge that God blessed you. You can't say good morning to that young lady right there and say, "How you going? How you doing?" And she'll say, "I'm blessed." And it's not a vernacular. I mean, it is the real deal. She knows she's been blessed. Hope you don't mind me bragging on you. But that's just who you are, Loopy. Who are y'all? Couple of more. Please share. This is fun. Because if you're able to say that characteristic that I like about myself, it makes it a little bit easier for you to do that assessment when you need to make a course correction. Patty's got one, please, Jason.
That of hospitality. I love hosting people and having them in my house to share God with them.
Everybody get that? I got Sister Patty, who acknowledges she loves to be hospitable. And for those of you that know her, there's no door open wider than Patty Bassett's door. She loves people interaction. She also happens to like butterflies, but the people come first in her life, okay? She is about connections. She is about relationships. Those characteristics are important because it is, she recognizes who she is, a servant of God. Thank you for sharing that. I need two more.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I solve problems oftentimes where people don't realize that there's one there.
Eric, if you never got to know him, please make a habit starting today. If you want some advice about solving problems, he's not Mr. Fix-It, but he's Mr. Idea. He's a visionary. He thinks out of the box. And he just doesn't do it because you ask him. He does it because he's deeply, deeply, deeply interested in making sure that there's a process, making sure that God is honored in what we're doing around here. That's who he is. And as good as a prayer guy as he is, he doesn't give himself enough credit to say, I think that I can offer a good prayer. And because of the process guy he is, he's studying what God is putting on his heart to be a stronger prayer guy. And he's helping me and a lot of other people outside the box to honor God with the talents that we've been given. Thank you, brother, for sharing that. All right, one more. Come on, somebody that really wants to say it but a little bit fearful, just say it. One more characteristic. If I called on someone, would you say it?
You're a good song leader.
Huh? Anybody else?
I was speaking for Jason.
Okay.
Everybody's nominating me, so I love to serve others.
And by serving others, you know what he does? Countless hours to prepare for what you see when he leads singing. You got to understand something. He's not from an a cappella environment. Many of these songs that this guy leads us in, he spent hours learning the songs. Think about that. He's serving because he loves the Lord and he loves the people that he's serving. That's some neat characteristic. Thank you, thank you, thank you for doing that. So you see, where I'm trying to take this is Daniel's characteristics are not unique. They are powerful to let us know that in the face of crisis, in the face of doom and gloom, if you understand that God is with you, if you but reach out, and in Daniel's example, if you but ask God, he will let things happen, maybe not on your timeline, but he will let things happen that protect you. That's the whole lesson in Daniel. Faith wins. God is over us and he cannot fail. Amen? And that's really where we are, that these characteristics allowed him to accomplish, as we'll talk about on next Sunday, Lord willing, what the result was of him being cast in the lion's den that we finished on verse 17 there. So, we all know that Darius was aware of Daniel's wisdom, and he made him one of the top three leaders. Now, can this be said about you? Daniel did such a good job that Darius was making plans to put all of the administrators, called satraps, under him. Daniel would rule the entire kingdom and be second to Darius. He was a great leader, the best of the best. One of the commentaries I read said that he was probably the only Jew amongst the 123 leaders that were in that kingdom. No one could find any corruption in him. He was completely honest in all his duties by finding the kind of character in today's senior government leaders. How's that floating out there? How's our government leaders' credibility with you? Certainly not like Daniel's credibility was. Daniel was not negligent. He was doing everything he was supposed to do in his work. His faith in God was so well known that the unanimous conclusion was that the only thing about Daniel they could be attacked was what? His faith in God. The leaders set a trap by appealing to Darius. All right, let's pull over here. Many of you worked your whole life and then you retired. Some in this audience are working now. Let's flash back. How much of a challenge is it for you who are working today to be honest in everything you do in your work? How big of a challenge is it? I hope for the most that I recognize are still working, there's not a lot of pressure on you to lie. In fact, if some of you lied, people would die. I'm looking at my nurse daughter. Okay? Yet, some have come into sales jobs. Anybody been in sales before? Quota time, end of every quarter. How's your revenue? How's your sales going? Is there any propensity that you're challenged to kind of plus up the numbers? Are there safeguards in your life that keep you lying about your production? The folks I'm looking at would have no problem always telling the truth. Some people have not had it so easy, though. Some people have been put in situations where they have to lie in order to be successful. Daniel was in that situation. He could have lied, but because of his character, you know, character is what you do when you think no one else is looking, right? Daniel stayed consistent in his character. And what did that get him? That got him the favor of Darius. But oh my word, all those people, those other two administrators and 120 province chiefs, they had to find a way to make Daniel look bad. And they concocted this idea because the Medes and the Persians had crafted this wonderful rule. If the king signs a law, it can never be abolished. If the king signs it, it's a forever law. Are you kidding me? Where would we be with some of these idiotic laws that we have if we couldn't have the constitutional change authority? But it happened that way. And these people who were trying to get back at Daniel, they set one of the biggest traps that the king could ever endure. King, you signed the law, and it can't be changed. And oh, by the way, we caught old Daniel. He's 81, 82, maybe 83 years old. And you know that guy, he's praying three times a day. He's even turned toward Jerusalem. And you signed the law that said he has to go in the lion's den. Hello, king. What are you going to do now? And the what are you going to do now is what? I heard Daniel talk about a God. I, Darius, don't really believe in that God. But maybe I can get out of this by saying, well, God's going to take care of you, Daniel. I have to comply with this law I signed, but I know your God will take care of you. He's lying through his teeth. And so were the guys that crafted this law and had him sign it. He was deceived. And yet, who stayed consistent was Daniel. Right? Those first 17 verses that we covered in this part one today are character builders. They set the foundation for us as Christ followers to take action, to not be negligent, to not lie, but to seek responsibility and bring honor to our God. Is it going to be easy? No way. But if you're consistent in trying, knowing that God is in control, be assured that He will take care of you. Certainly not on your timeline or my timeline, but His timeline. Bottom line this week, faith wins. God is in control, and you are protected by the blood of Jesus Christ, sacrificed for you. And all we have to do is step up and say, I'll try. I'll do my best to exemplify an example of what Christ did. If Daniel can do it, you can do it. I love you all. Have a great morning. One last comment.
Well, I disagree with something you said about...
Well, tell me what it is.
That you said that Darius was lying through his teeth.
Yeah.
I think he meant that because he spent the night fasting and worrying about Daniel.
Yep.
And I don't think he would have done that if he wasn't being truthful when he said that to Daniel.
Okay.
And the law was only in effect for 30 days.
The law could not be changed.
For 30 days.
And... I still, next week, we'll talk a little bit about some of Darius's characteristics that made me say that. I understand fully he was sweating bullets because he had signed this law and, what, for 30 days? He couldn't get out of it. Well, let's just let it wait for 30 days. Why didn't he do that? Because he fell to pressure. He fell to pressure of those that had created this scenario for him. Thank you for that comment. Y'all be good this week.